Previously on the Old Man Wade Show, honestly, they just talk shit.
Call me Old Man Wade.
Damn you, Old Man!
Wade!
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man, you smell like fart.
No! Man!
Old man!
Wade. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade!
I'm surprised we didn't actually talk about Watchmen.
We still can.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
How about, what is the character who plays Dr. Manhattan?
Hmm?
The dude who plays Dr. Manhattan.
Yaya.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. Okay, I don't, it's, he has a long name, I don't, it's
no,
like the May 10th.
First name's like Yaya.
Mm-hmm. May 10th something or other.
Yeah.
Pretty nice dick. He's hanging. It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I was shocked. I was like, oh.
They went there.
Yeah, bully for you.
He said that, after the episode aired, he said his Twitter DMs blew up.
Yeah, Abdul Mateen the second.
There you go, Mateen. That's what it is, yeah.
Blue man that walked through hell, dick swinging like shit went well. Yo, it was funny as shit because I'm watching it and I was like, I kind of want to cover my wife's eyes right now. But, so I loved it. Greg, kept telling me I need to watch it. You kept telling me I need to watch it.
It might be my favorite show of all time.
It's definitely, I think, the best comic book series that's ever been created. Like, hands down. Like, I can't think of anything that's ever been that good. And I'm even talking about, like, Batman the Animated Series. I'm talking about Justice League. Watchmen was, like, it might have been the best show. It might have been the best show I've seen all year, too.
I just love the fact that they went for it. Like, yeah. They didn't. Everybody be damned. It literally starts off with the damn Black Wall Street Massacre. It's like, I'm sitting there. I cut the show on because it was a couple episodes in when I finally decided to sit down and watch it. I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. And I'm like, what is happening right now? This is Watchmen, right? It's like Watchmen, black folks is being killed. I'm like, is this? It's like, this looks like a really affluent black. Oh my god, is this the black? Holy shit! The fucking show starts with the goddamn Black Wall Street Massacre. I'm like, white folks are gonna lose their shit when they watch this.
And they did.
No, they lost their goddamn minds when the show debuted.
I thought it was funny. I was like, so admittedly, and I'm not proud of this, I didn't know what Black Wall Street was. Mm. After watching it, I did my Googles to figure out what it was, and I was like, oh, this is awful. This is one of the worst things I've ever heard of.
The KKK and the U.S. government essentially working together. That's fun.
The funny part about it is just like, it was literally...
It's the same thing.
Oh, Obama. But the part that killed me about that was, it was like, so you want us to not be involved with everything. We leave you alone. We do our own thing. We're happy. We're prosperous. We're doing our thing. And they're like, wait, what? Oh, hell no! And all the fuck, I'm just picturing a bunch of KKK members taking their earrings off.
Gasoline on their faces.
It's like, oh, hell no! Jimbo, hold my rings! But like you said, they went for it, man. It was really fucking good. But I think something Maria pointed out, and I can't, cause we're gonna do one for me and Maria are gonna do one for CCBN. But she pointed out that there was more black people than white people in this. Mm-hmm. The women were actually the ones who seemed to be the most powerful and the most like prominent. And she, when she pointed that out, I'm like, fuck, that's dope. I didn't even notice that. And like,
the show was the entire thing was a flex.
Yeah.
Damien Lindelof, I think he was involved in Game of Thrones as well, I think. He, like, the entirety of the 8-episode run of Watchmen was just the biggest flex that any director or writer has ever done on a TV show ever. It's like, they took a property that was white. Watchmen was white as fuck. Like, I don't even think there was an African-American character in the movie or the book. Like, I was racking my brain.
We were talking about that.
I almost wanted to go back and reread the original graphic novel. There's no black characters in it. To go from that to being an entirely black-driven show is insane.
Well, you can be like me and read the... watch the motion comic. Mm. That's what I did.
Okay.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh, so the guy...
It's like 12 hours long.
Yeah, because it includes the Black Freighter stuff too, right?
No,
I already owned. I have Watchmen on DVD or Blu-ray. I bought the Ultimate Edition of the movie because it also included the Black Freighter stuff.
It's so good, man.
I haven't watched it yet, but it's so, I haven't.
It's so, so good, man.
Two versions of it.
So Damon Lindelof, he did Lost. From what he's most known for, The Lost, The Leftovers. He produced Star Trek in 2009, the Star Trek movie in 2013, obviously Watchmen, Leftovers, Tomorrowland, and apparently Phineas and Ferb.
Okay. Maybe it was The Leftovers that I was thinking.
So he also wrote Ultimate Wolverine vs. Hulk, which, you know.
I like that. It was good.
It just took him fucking forever to do it, but when you're writing Lost, you know what I mean? But, and this was, and again, something else Valkyrie pointed out when we were discussing this about how they didn't, like, her husband was a stay-at-home dad, but they didn't, like, emasculate him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's an important thing to do, because a lot of TV shows, like, you'll have these, like, and I'm not talking, like, sensitive, I'm talking, like, they really emasculate these men in a lot of shows. And I don't mean, like, by, like, cooking dishes, but it's just, like, they're just weak, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, they're being stepped on and all this other stuff. But like with this, it was like, she appreciated everything he was doing to keep their family, like, together. Mm-hmm. Sorry. That's totally a Mark move, by the way. But I like that. I also love the fact that when they got into that, when she came home, was upset with him, and she was like, I'm trying to start a fight. And he was like, I know. And he was just like, he wasn't fazed. And I love the fact that it was an equal partnership, but she was also the strongest person in that house, like, you know what I mean? So that there's something to be said about that. And then when he turned into Dr. Manhattan, and she wasn't fazed, she wasn't scared of him.
She was fucking Dr. Manhattan before that, so
she was fucking upgraded Dr. Manhattan. Yeah, so but that's cool though, the fact that, like, even though, like, he has the power of a god, and like he could snap her out of existence, like literally, like Thanos, and she wasn't phased. You know what I mean? It was a 10 out of 10 for me. Greg, do you have anything that I know you had a lot to talk about about this movie in general, the show in general, excuse me, and I know you love the movie.
Love the movie. When the show started, I'm not gonna lie, like the first episode, maybe the second, and about the second episode too, I wasn't that into it. I thought the first episode was a little too weird for me. There was a lot going on. Second episode, I don't even remember, because I was kind of like, oh, it's like a slow burn. Mm-hmm. But by the time they got to the third episode, that's when I was really, like, hooked. When they introduced what's her name? Was it Lori? Silk Spectre. Yeah.
Who was a bad motherfucker too, yeah, man.
Her and just it really started going places from that episode on, and for me, I don't know about you guys, I like watching recaps on YouTube about it, so it kind of helps me digest what I just watched easier, and they play with ideas, conspiracy theories, and everything like that. So it's pretty nice. There's something called, like, the PD files or something that is in conjunction with the show. And what it is, you know, Lori's partner, the FBI agent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're saying that, well, he was putting out files every week, like literal files every week that fans can just read on the website. And it would give them, like, and I wasn't sure about what they entailed, but there was a lot of clues in it. Mm-hmm. And it also dropped a hint that he was the guy with the silver out bodysuit.
Yo, that shit was so funny.
And he used the whatever, what?
Oil.
Astroglide.
Like, yeah.
They never told us who that was, did they?
No.
But
That was so funny.
I fucking busted out laughing.
He was sitting there. She sees him. Hey.
Astroglide. No, what the fuck is that shit? Joe Budden was talking about wet platinum?
Yeah, so,
he squirted himself with Beijing. came on the other side of the sewer, his lineup was tight.
But yo, that was definitely like some crazy.
It was Jalen Rose.
Oh my god. Oh
my god. She seen him. Hey, hey, stop. He's like, nah. Not gonna be able to do it.
Oh, sorry, Greg. That's
all I had to say. Highly enjoyed that show.
What did you guys think of the ending?
Oh, God, I loved it. I like how it's open-ended. I want to see what happens, but at the same time, I want it to just be one season and that be the end.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's no way that they can top what they just did. And I don't want to have, like, for example...
Heroes?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was just about to say. The first season of Heroes, I'll weigh that up against any TV show ever. Excellent. 20-something episodes of TV. The second season suffered from the writer's strike. It was just bad. Mm-hmm. All of it was bad. I don't want that to happen. We'll just let it be what it is, and that be the end of it.
I will say this, though. If we get naked Regina King...
It's never going to happen.
I don't know.
If it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. Because she had some lean years, and usually when people have lean years, they're willing to do anything. She never compromised herself like that. So I highly doubt she's going to do that.
Good at Ebony Yesterday.
She's so attractive.
Yeah, she is.
She's classically attractive. When I say that, I mean that back when I was a kid, that's one of the reasons why I'm so into like Kiki Palmer and Bianca Belair from NXT.
Yeah.
They remind me of what women were back when I was like 10.
Google Bianca Belair, NXT.
I'll send you a picture. I'll find a good one to send to you. But it's one of those things I always say to Duke. Like, I was like, I don't know why I'm so attracted to, like, Bianca Belair. He's like, I know why it is, because she looks like the girls that we used to go to when we were in middle school, in elementary school. It's like, she reminds you of the 80s, you know what I'm saying, when you were a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, that's 100% it. But that's how girls look back then.
But you know what I also think a lot of it had to do with, like, Regina King and Bianca Belair, just used them as an example, they're both strong women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Bianca Belair was...
Literally with Bianca Belair.
Yeah. And on top of that, like, on top of her being as strong as she is, like, she went back to school, she finished, she graduated from college. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of people don't do that. So, let's say she gets hurt. She's fine. Like, you know what I mean? And a lot of athletes, I realize, don't do that. Like, I thought it was, I knew Xavier Woods had a PhD, but I didn't know he had a useful PhD. You know what I mean?
I don't know what his PhD is.
Child psychology.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so.
That tracks.
Yeah. So, like, it makes a lot of sense. But back to Watchmen, I think they should just stop. Stop right there. Leave it alone. And if they do go on, I don't want Regina King involved in it on any level. Like, keep her away from it. Mm. Like, let her legacy live on through this, like, one great season. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing more of Silk Spectre and Mirror Man. Mm. Is that his name, Mirror Man?
Mm-mm. Looking Glass.
Looking Glass. That's oh, she called... Yeah. I loved how...
He cracked me up. He's like, you know that's not my name. It's Looking Glass.
It's Looking Glass.
It's Looking Glass.
I loved him so much.
He's great.
Yeah. And like everything... And it's like, I love their partnership. I think Regina King owes him an ass whooping.
Yeah. He had to do that, though.
Yeah.
He really didn't have a choice.
It kind of seemed like almost like he was protecting himself. Her. Yeah. And then, like, she fucked around and downed all those nostalgia pills. And, like, you know, that was it.
I'm going to send these photos to both of you, so you can.
Word. So, I thought the last episode, and for me, if you ruin a last episode, like, that can destroy the entire season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the last two episodes I thought were phenomenal. Because the second to last one was when they kept going back and forth through time, right?
I think so.
And then the last one was, and the next one was the last one. Those two episodes I thought were absolutely like, were just phenomenal from start to finish. Mm-hmm. So I don't have enough good things to say about the show. I don't think there's anything in there that I didn't like. I didn't mind the slow build. I kind of like it because it gives you time. It took two episodes to really kind of explain who everybody is, why they are who they are, and everything like that. So for me, it made a lot of sense. So I dug that completely. Mm-hmm. You know what else? Even though I've seen the end of it, but you guys can discuss it because you guys are both Game of Thrones guys, right? Mm-hmm. What'd you guys think of the final season? We'll go Greg first. What'd you think of the final season of Game of Thrones? I'm gonna split this up into two episodes.
What's I remember? I liked it for the most part. I just wasn't a fan of how it ended. And plus, I feel like what happened with the White Walkers, just all the buildup there was to that final, like,
they didn't do enough for them.
Like, they didn't. They just, like, it's kind of like, finally, you know, it's like you're pursuing a woman you really want to sleep with. Mm. You finally get with her and you bust in like 3 seconds. I thought that scene was dope. Yeah. What what's her name? Was it
Arya?
What she did was dope. Mm-hmm. I felt like if that could have been like, if she, that could have happened after like a crazy fight.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been
they
dope.
They blew it a little too early.
Yeah, they blew it too early. There are so many questions about. There was still so much, but like they were still mysterious to us. Yeah. There was so much conspiracies and all this other stuff surrounding them. For them to just get out, like taken out that quickly, and okay, now they're all dead. Okay, well, I still have questions. You know what I mean?
It's because they rushed that last season. You know why, right? The two people, I forget, Benioff and Weiss.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be doing Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
So they wanted to, they wanted to rush through being done with Game of Thrones so they could do their Star Wars stuff. Only problem was they rushed through Game of Thrones and then ended up not doing the Star Wars stuff. So we got this truncated final season of Game of Thrones for no reason. Like, we didn't even get a payoff of their crazy Star Wars things. It never happened. So the whole thing, they had to tie up so many loose ends in, like, what was it, 6 episodes?
Yeah.
That's six why. Or seven, yeah. And they spent 8 seasons. Was it 8 seasons or 7?
8.
They spent 8 seasons just sort of kind of tangentially talking about the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. There were certain points where we've seen them do stuff like the battle at, was it Harrenhal? When we first see the King of the White Walkers go like this and he raises up all of that. Yeah. I forget the name. I think it was the battle of something. Yeah. Like, we've seen them at certain points, but they never dived into like their backstories, because I think they were originally planning spinoff series that focus on that. That's also been canceled.
Really?
In the place of a series about the Targaryens instead, which I don't care.
No one gives a fuck about them.
It's at this point no, because they left so many open ended questions leading into the last season, and they haphazardly closed so many plot lines that I want to know about the White Walkers. I don't give a fuck about anything else. That's all I care about.
Really?
Like, you need to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Because the way that storyline ended was fucking great. Like, that last super dark battle that most people complained that they couldn't see. I thought it was fucking great. And I like the fact that Arya was the one who killed the Night King. But they didn't... It's almost like the reason why the first Avengers movie worked so well is because we got so many movies leading up to it, so the Avengers could focus on the Avengers and not setting up plot lines and backstory for the main characters, other than the Hawkeyes and the... well, really, just Hawkeye. He's the only one we didn't really see that often leading up to that. We only saw him in Thor. So it was essentially... They took the Justice League route. They just stuffed everything into 2 hours and was like, oh, this is... Yeah, this is the Flash. You never seen him before, but you like him because he's a Flash, and you like the Flash, right?
And that makes it even worse.
Like, Aquaman, you have no idea. You've never seen this guy in any of the movies.
But you like Jason Momoa.
Yeah, so it's awesome. Just go with it. That doesn't work. And that's the reason why the Justice League movie didn't work. Because they haphazardly rushed through introducing these characters and didn't give them the proper backstory. And that's exactly why the last season of Game of Thrones didn't work. Because it did exactly the same thing. They tried to end and complete a bunch of things that they started working on, bits and pieces throughout the first 7 seasons, didn't really dive into. It was almost as if they thought they had more time. And originally they did, until this whole Star Wars thing.
Which is why Aquaman worked on its own. Wonder Woman worked on its own. Man of Steel worked on its own. Batman would have worked on its own.
Wonder Woman only worked because she was in Batman v. Superman. She was the best part of Batman v. Superman.
Remember that time? Remember when fucking quote-unquote Doomsday hit her, and she looked up at him and smiled? I was like... Yeah, that was sexy as shit, too.
Don't get me wrong. I love Batfleck, but I enjoyed the Wonder Woman stuff more than anything else. And that's the reason why when they announced the Wonder Woman movie, I ran out to go see it. because I was curious to know what they did, with, what they were going to do.
And Gal Gadot's a bad motherfucker,
too. I would have ran out to see the Ben Affleck Batman movie, too, because I was curious to know how he would continue the character, because I thought he did great. But again, having that entry point is what you need. You know what I'm saying?
But I kind of feel like, I don't think they rushed. I don't think we could have got, I think we could have got a Justice League movie without everybody. They literally could have stayed with the Holy Trinity. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. And I feel that they could have done a whole like Justice League movie with just the three of them. Like the three of them don't necessarily need a backstory because we know who they are. Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man may have needed one because not a lot of people really know who they are. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like the X-Men where you can pretty much, you know who they are. You see is what you see is what you get. They're mutants. The general public doesn't like them. Add, rinse, repeat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the same thing goes for the Holy Trinity in DC Comics. One thing that really pissed me off was that one scene that they showed in the previews where it was like with Alfred, he goes, "I knew you'd show up," and we never figured out who the fuck it was.
Deleted scene.
It's supposed to be like the Green Lantern, right?
Originally, it was Green Lantern. Then it was Superman and. They cut that scene out of the movie entirely.
That was stupid. Why? I hate when movies do that.
I got nothing, dude.
But I did think it was kind of cool how they did this with Infinity War, how they show the Hulk running in that scene, mm-hmm. and then kind of find out that Hulk wasn't in there. I was like, that was pretty slick of you guys. So, I was like, I can't even really be mad at that. But that whole thing with Justice League was just bad. What were we talking about before that? Oh, Game of Thrones. So, let me talk about Snyder. We bring up the Snyder Cut. How do you guys? So overall, so you guys both enjoyed the final season, I'm guessing. So why was everyone so mad at it? Like,
I totally understand why people were mad about it. It's one of the, like, it feeds into what I was saying earlier. People were looking for resolutions that made sense, and they didn't get them because it was all rushed.
Same thing, like. I was okay with it. There was some things that we got that I liked, but overall, just the experience, it was kind of like, you know what it was? You know what it felt like? It felt like how things are when everybody goes to the bar expecting the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. They're doing so well. And then somebody fucks up. And then it gets worse and worse and worse. And you're like, yeah, it looks like we're not going to win. And then everybody at the bar is kind of quiet.
In 2011, when the Lakers beat the Celtics. Remember when we went to the bar?
I was at work.
Yeah, we were there. You were working, but you came upstairs.
To the bar. Yeah. And it was, yeah.
That's how it felt. Like, it was like, I'm still going to watch because, you know, hopefully something happens that'll make me feel a little better, but whatever, it is what it is.
You know,
watch it to the end.
I'm actually kind of happy that I'm starting it now because I love the idea of, like, just binging stuff all the way through. So, and I don't know why I didn't like it the first time I watched it, because honest to Odin, like, I really, really enjoyed, I'm really enjoying the first season of Game of Thrones. And I was talking to Diddy about this, and this whole, everything is Joffrey's fault. Mm-hmm. Everything that happened was from that one moment where he decided to execute Ned Stark. And everything went downhill from there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally all his fault. And it's fucking hilarious to me. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, he's the worst. Like, it's funny that you get one of the most honorable characters in Ned Stark, and then you get one of the worst characters of all time in King Joffrey. And then Arya having to watch, like, her father be, like, get beheaded. No, she didn't watch it, did she? I think one of the dudes, like, blocked her from watching it.
Yeah, Sansa saw it. She was looking right at it.
Okay.
Joffrey wanted her to watch. That was one of the reasons why he did it.
God, he is such a prick, man. And it's funny, after that happened, I had to stop watching it again because I hate him so much.
Yeah, his death wasn't satisfying.
Thank you. That's another reason why I get...
You don't think so? I thought watching him die relatively slowly and painfully was pretty...
Nah, he...
Like, I can't wait for Little Hand or Little Finger or Little Dick to die.
Oh, that was fun. Here you go.
I hate... He's another one, man. Like, he was sniveling 1313. It makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. But he was a sniveling little bastard, like, and I was just like, there's something wrong with him.
Actually, you said this is all Joffrey's fault. It's really Littlefinger's fault.
Well, yeah.
He's the one who pulled the strings in the background to cause all that stuff to happen. That's He's also the one true. Who betrayed Ned in the town, in the center, when he first gets captured by Joffrey and...
I'm Holy really
shit. Is this the new game?
Yeah.
Okay, that explains why Russell Westbrook looks like Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but one. Except an aunt. Well, someone's auntie. But the one thing that I thought people were joking when they said don't get attached to anybody.
No, that's legit.
I'm glad the only person I'm attached to actually survives the entire thing, so I'm good.
I kind of wish you didn't know that. To be on edge like the rest of us were when we all realized that nobody's safe.
But I will. One thing I did appreciate though is like, even the, you could tell the story's well written and well done when even though you know the death is coming and you're still kind of just like, it's still emotional. Like Ned Stark dying was still, to me was still emotional.
I did not believe that was, I didn't. I felt like somebody was going to swoop in at the last minute to stop it from happening.
So did I. And I knew it was going to happen.
When I first started watching the show, it was like, he's the star of the show. It's his show. Like, has that ever happened before? Like,
the star of the show in the first season? Not that I can think of. But, like, so far, like, Arya Stark, like, that's my girl, man. She's fucking... I love her so much. Like, she's... Like, I knowing what I know, and, like, especially, with the whole face thing, mm-hmm. which to me is hysterical. Like, I'm glad that, like, we get to see, like, I get to see her, like, her rise to power. And just like you and Hermione, I don't have to, my first experience with her is her of age. So, but I'm also, but it, I don't know. I like the show, and but it's funny, the one person I don't like on it is the little dude. Greg, did you have a favorite character on Game of Thrones, or like someone, or like a, like something that really like shocked you throughout the series?
There was a lot of shocking moments. The Red Wedding.
That was probably the most shocking moment.
I remember sitting on my couch watching it, and I had no idea what was about to happen. And I remember it was one of those long work weeks that I had, and I was on a day off, and I was struggling to stay awake. And then it happened, and I was like, what the fuck? It totally woke me up.
Yeah. Like, I didn't read the books, so I didn't know it was coming. Yeah. And it was probably the most horrific and shocking thing that I've ever seen in a TV show.
Really?
I mean, what else is there?
I don't know what the Red Wedding. I know a bunch of people die.
It's just who dies and how they die.
Oh. Because I know my first...
I want to run it for you if you don't know.
That'll be something I can go to. I know the first entire episode that I watched that I really enjoyed was when Cersei came into power, and I remember texting you going, "Duh, this bitch is crazy," and I love it. Like, she is fucking great.
That was when she blew everything up, right?
Yeah. And everything blew up in a green ball. But I'm also kind of happy knowing that, like, knowing one of the places was destroyed was that one with the big like hole in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate that fucking place.
It wasn't destroyed.
I thought they
It was in two different places.
Oh, okay.
The place with the moon door.
Yeah.
That's in a different, totally different area. It's not in King's Landing.
Okay.
It's Catelyn Stark's sister's what the fuck is it called? The Vale.
Okay, so the Vale wasn't destroyed though. Mm-mm. Oh, I hate that bitch. Like, she's like, you know what's funny? Most of the people in that show are horrible. Like, there aren't a lot of people in that you can consider good people.
I think that's one of the reasons why the show is so popular, because it's such an apt representation of real life.
Yeah.
Like, the machinations of the people in that show, it's how it is in real life. Yeah. People plotting against you, people you think are your friends, running out your friends, they're just using you for what they can potentially gain. Like, that's real life. That's legit. You know, the only difference is, you know, dragons.
This comedian said, the funny thing, the comedian said that his favorite thing about Game of Thrones is people going, "Oh shit, a dragon!" So... The, what is it, Kandarians, Dragos, Drogas Flame, the Jason Momoa's character.
Oh, Khal Drogo.
Drogo, what are they called again?
Dothraki.
The Dothraki. The Dragos. Wow. The Dothraki.
It's too much of a Lupe fiasco for you got Lupe on the brain.
The Count Dragos. But yeah. Let's
finish him off with the Dragos Wave.
Dragos Wave. Was it the bad finisher move? Oh no, Drogas Wave was good. Drogas was just the bad one. You liked Drogas though, didn't you? The first of the Drogas series with
I don't remember it.
I know I have it.
So next up, one thing I can think of that I really loved this year was The Boys.
That was good.
Yeah.
They're rushing season two currently.
Well, they started season two before season one debuted. And they said, we'll be done by November. Sure enough, they were done by November. But again, it's 8 episodes, though. So it makes sense that it would only take them a few months to do. Mm-hmm. Especially if they're, like, just going right at it and going hard. But I'm also not shocked, considering the people who are involved. Seth Rogen, he seems really passionate about a lot of the stuff that he does. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that he's really into it. The creator of Supernatural, that explains why it's as bloody as it is. But all the violence and stuff like that is done for a reason. And all like the really explicit scenes aren't just there just for shits and giggles, you know what I mean? So it makes sense. But I can't wait for this next season, man. I'm all in on that. And for a while, like, I was gonna give The Boys my show of the year, and then I watched Watchmen, and that shit went out the door.
Yeah, Amazon finally has one.
Yeah, it's a long enough, right? Mm-hmm. Closest thing they came to it was what, Fleabag?
Fleabag.
No, they have Man in the High Castle was a big
one. Yeah, that one.
The shit with the Handmaiden. That's Hulu. Isn't that Amazon?
That's Hulu.
Is it? That's Hulu, yeah.
Yeah, Handmaiden Shell's Hulu. Okay, I don't know that. Maria loves that show. I can't watch it. I never bothered watching it. I can't, man. It's one of those shows that's like, it's too close to like reality.
It's like the Nazis and shit like that, right?
No, it's Man in the High Castle.
Okay.
Yeah. The Handmaiden's Tale seems too close to reality for me to really get into. And like, I remember watching it and getting like, Maria said I looked physically angry. And I was like, I can't watch this.
Either you watch Killing Eve?
No, but I was actually, Dan Slott was actually talking about that.
It's a really good show.
Yeah, it's I can't remember her first name, but her last name's O. She was in,
Sandra, I think.
Sandra O. Yeah. I think that's her name, and if it is, my apologies.
Pretty sure it is.
But she was in Grey's Anatomy, and I loved her in that.
Best character on Grey's Anatomy. I was pissed when she left.
She's probably like, fuck this noise, I have a better career. You know what
Did
I mean?
Did she, though? I don't remember seeing her in anything until this.
Well, let me rephrase that. Like, I think she realizes her worth, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you get, what's the black woman's name, doctor?
Bailey.
Like, I can't really see her doing anything else, so it would be smart for her to stay. Like, Dr. McSteamy, when he left, he was going to be fine. And, which brings up something else that I love this year. Someone said the guy who played, is it McDreamy or McSteamy?
I don't know which one you're talking about, but there is a McSteamy and there's a McDreamy.
The new one, the one who died in the plane crash.
That's McSteamy.
So there was like, the dude who played McSteamy didn't want to be...
Multiple man.
Yeah, didn't want to play the character. He wanted everyone to forget who he was, so he decided to play a guy who cheated on his wife with Lady Boys.
What movie was that?
Euphoria.
Oh, shit!
Yo, in Euphoria.
We're not talking about Euphoria.
We're talking about it now. Euphoria is my shit. And I'm mad at you, Greg.
Why?
Because I thought it was over. I thought it was just like one complete series and that was it. And like season one's over. And I'm like, oh, fuck you, Greg. Now I gotta wait for season two.
That's how shows work.
You didn't warn me. You didn't tell me this was like season one. I thought it was all, hey. I'm all amped up getting ready to watch season two. And that was the end of it.
I was the one telling you to watch it.
Fuck you.
Shit.
But Euphoria was that shit, man.
Euphoria is a close second to me. I still think Watchmen was the best show, but Euphoria is a close second.
Well, I liked...
I haven't felt feels like that.
Watchmen, Euphoria, yeah. I like True Detective Season 3.
That's what Marsha Ali, right?
Yeah. Marsha Hala Ali.
Yeah, I was like, wait, are you having a stroke right now? But yeah, I like True Detective. They ended Mr. Robot this year.
How was it? Because I know you were high on that show.
I love that show.
How was the season? The series finale.
It was good. I still have to go back and watch it again because I was tired when I was watching it.
Why do I feel like most of Greg's stories start off with "I was tired"?
Because they do.
I'm tired. I'm always tired, guy. I'm always tired.
That's the secret. He's always tired.
I'm always tired. But my second day off, I'm usually fine. my first day off.
Yeah, but like I was, and that's funny because that's how Javi goes. So when we have to record, Javi doesn't want to record his first day off. He usually goes with the second day because he has like a good like day of sleep, which is funny for me. Like this is how I am regardless. Did I tell you guys during an interview someone told me I was high energy?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of looked at it. He's like, oh, it's not an insult. It's just like, you know, we're just not used to people being this energetic. And I'm like, I work an overnight, man. This is how I am.
Well, can I make some recommendations of shows that came up that were on this year that the two of you probably didn't watch that you should?
I'm listening.
Runaways.
You mentioned that.
This is season 3. This is the end. Because Marvel is ending all of their previous TV properties. It was so good. It's damn rare at this point in my life where a show drops, I'm excited about it, I cut it on, and I can't stop watching it. I forget how many episodes it was, but however many episodes it was, I literally watched them all in a row.
Is that on Disney?
Well, the first season is, but it's technically a Hulu show. Okay. So seasons 1, 2, and 3 are on Hulu.
Okay, I'll check it out.
But I really enjoyed that. The book was great. I don't know if either of you ever checked that out.
What, on Runaways?
Yeah.
You said the Wu-Tang show was good, right?
That's the next thing I was going to mention. I really enjoyed that. I question the validity of some of it, because some of it seems too crazy. But then again, some of the, you know, most interesting parts of life are the crazy things that happen to us. So, I don't know. I'm really curious to see what they do with season 2 of that. And there was some really, really good acting in that show. So I would definitely say check that out. We already talked about Euphoria. You both watched that. I know neither of you are necessarily into the Arrowverse shows, but as comic book fans, if you've ever read Crisis on Infinite Earths, I would just say, you don't have to go back and watch any of the previous Arrowverse stuff. Just watch I think they did 3 episodes before they did the break, before the finale of Crisis on Infinite Earths. Just go back and watch those 3 episodes. It's an episode of Arrow, it's an episode of Flash, and so far it's an episode of Batwoman. And it's just all about the crossover. Great TV. Like seeing Tom Welling, the dude from Smallville, as Clark Kent again, fucking amazing. The fucking thing starts out with, I don't know if you know the premise of the Crisis on Infinite Earths, but it's basically in the DC universe years ago, like they're in the 80s, there was different worlds, different universes, and they created so many different universes that it got muddied, so they needed to figure out a way to condense it into one, so they came up with this Crisis on Infinite Earths things, where they were basically erasing the worlds, and the whole thing was the heroes from the Earth that we know. I think technically it's Earth, not Earth One, it may be Earth. I think it is Earth One. Earth One, they had to band together with heroes from other universes to try to save the multiverse. So that's essentially what they're doing on the Arrowverse shows right now.
Okay.
Because even on the TV shows, there are different universes. Like Supergirl has interacted with the Flash in Green Arrow. But Supergirl's in a different universe. She doesn't exist in that universe. So they
Lightning hasn't interacted with anybody.
Different. He has one now.
Yeah. I love the thing with him and Diggle. Too.
Yeah, just the nod.
Yeah, like the only two black dudes in the room. And one of them goes, hey, gives him a head nod. The other one gives him the same salute. It was just kind of like, that's just, it's multiversal.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what universe you're in. But the fucking crossover, the first episode, I think the first episode may have been an episode of Supergirl. It starts off, they're already hopping from universe to universe, and the antimatter wave is coming. One of the first people you see is, do you remember the first Batman movie?
Which one?
With the Joker.
The newspaper clipping. The newspaper clipping. This was.
They had the fucking dude who played, he was the reporter with Vicky Vale.
Knox.
They had him as Knox. In one of the first scenes of Crisis on Infinite Earths, they had Burt Ward from the original Robin from the old 60s Batman TV show. Mm-hmm. They had him. There was a random Birds of Prey TV show on the CW years ago. They had the Huntress from that. They had her.
Fuck out of here, are you serious?
Bro, they went so far down the rabbit hole. They had the Titans from the DC streaming service. They show up. It's fucking crazy.
Lucifer, duh.
Lucifer, you ever see that? He shows up in an episode with Constantine. They're trying to find, I won't say if you watch it, I don't want to ruin it, but they're trying to find somebody's soul. So they have to travel to, I think it's Universe 666. Constantine has to get a pass from Lucifer to go into
because he owes him.
Yeah, because he owes him a favor to go into the realm to find this person's soul to put it back in there. But this shit is crazy. The shit
which leads me to believe that. So, like, all hells, I guess all hells in heaven must be only one hell in heaven.
Seems so.
Yeah, but I thought that was that scene alone was fucking great. Like, the dude who plays Lucifer is fucking phenomenal. He's like Constantine. If anybody's gonna play Lucifer, cast him to do it. He's fucking great.
So it's just
daddy issues.
they went so far down the rabbit hole to put this thing together. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not mad at it. I'm gonna watch it. Like, I keep saying I'm going to, but you know what it was, man? I didn't really like The Flash. I didn't really like Arrow when it started, but I kind of feel like how you were with Watchmen, Greg. I think that if I get past like maybe like episode 3 or 4, I'll start to dig it. You know what I mean? Because I like Stephen Amell. And when I do see clip, when Diddy sends me clips of Arrow, I'm like, this is fucking great. Why am I not watching this? You know what I mean? Because it's like the closest thing we got to a Batman like TV show.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
But I just don't. Anytime I've seen anything from Flash, I've kind of hated it.
I like the first 2 seasons of the show. I'm that guy who watches stuff out of habit. It's like, I really liked it when it started, so I just want to see how it ends. So I just keep watching.
Yeah.
But it's at the point where none of the shows, even Arrow at this point, it's not appointment TV for me. Like, it builds up on my DVR, and I just go and watch it when I'm bored, when I have some free time, and I'm just trying to find something to do. Because the shows, both of those shows suffer from the same problem. And going back, and I started rewatching the first, I'm actually almost done with season 2 of Arrow. I realized why I liked the show so much in the beginning and why I don't like it so much now. Anytime everybody ends up with powers and it turns into a team dynamic, it takes away from the main characters that you were into when the show first started. First season of Arrow, by the end of the season, there's four people. Oliver, Arrow, Felicity, who handles the computer stuff. Diggle.
Who's in your top 5?
Yeah, oh my god, I'm in love with her. Then Diggle. And then there's like a combination of...
Hi, I'm Diggle.
Combination of Roy Harper or Black Canary.
Yeah.
They're interchangeable. They're sometimes and not there sometimes. But those two, they're integral to the story of Green Arrow. You can't have Green Arrow without Black Canary. And you can't have Green Arrow without his original protege, Speedy.
Yeah.
Roy Harper. So you have to have that. But when you get into going into the end of season 3 to season 4 and every season after that, he ends up with an actual team of heroes that I don't really give a shit about, and I don't know that anybody else would give a shit about as well. It's it takes away from what made the show great to begin with. It was the interplay between the original, I'll say, 3 to 4 people. Like, once you lose that when you add Wild Dog and Ragman and all this other shit, it's like, okay, they're fine.
They added Ragman?
Yeah.
Why?
He didn't last long, if that makes you feel any better.
Jizz Ragman?
But it's just, it dilutes things. Problem with The Flash. Everybody has superpowers now.
Yeah, that seemed weird to me.
It happens on every... It happened in Heroes. Even though the second season of Heroes wasn't great, the minute fucking Mohinder ended up with fucking superpowers, I was done.
I like the fact that he was still like a creepy, like...
But why? There's no need for that.
I liked it from a standpoint that we hated Mohinder. Like, he was...
You didn't hate him? It's just he doesn't need superpowers.
We used to talk shit about how bad he was.
It was just the delivery of the lines. Fun fact, Mohinder is actually one of the bad guys in this season of Flash. Life. I wonder, will it take me under?
Speed Force.
Barry.
Barry.
Barry Allen.
I hated him so much. He was just so fucking bad. And I kind of feel so. What
else? Dilutes everything when everybody has powers.
Was this was season 2 of Fleabag? Was that this year?
Yeah.
That was. You told me about.
I didn't finish it.
Huh?
I still haven't finished it.
You still haven't finished it? It's pretty fucking good, but she's still
I have one episode left.
She's also still one of the worst people in existence.
Fucking terrible. Hey, does the preacher dude does he ever get a name?
I don't remember.
Probably not.
I think he's still like Father.
They just call him Father. It's so weird. I love it. Have you ever watched that, Greg?
Fleabag's pretty good. I think you'd enjoy Fleabag. It's
I think I watched like the first episode or two and couldn't get into it.
Right. Were you falling asleep?
He's falling asleep right now.
Yeah.
I'm actually saving stuff to my queue on Hulu so I remember to try this shit out. I still haven't gotten a Wu-Tang.
Neither have I. I think I'm gonna, now that it's over, I think I'll go through all of season 1. You know what I mean? Because like every
One of the great things about that is they tried different shit. Like at certain points, it turns animated.
What?
Yeah, it's like
that's kind of cool though.
You can tell it's a Wu-Tang show. Like the way they flip things, it's
who who's producing? Who put it together? Who's like the creative mind? Oh, he's the creative mind. Okay. You think anybody else is getting a cut from that?
A bunch of them were listed as executive producers, so they're involved. I couldn't tell you who was missing because I wasn't paying that close attention. I know Ghostface. I seen Ghostface's name. I seen Raekwon. Obviously, I saw RZA. I seen GZA. I can't remember who else. Method Man was involved, I think.
So you're probably talking about the core six, maybe.
Probably. I saw Capadonna listed as a. I want to say I saw him listed as an executive producer.
You know, I kind of feel like with Capadonna, I kind of feel like they probably still hit him up with money, just because like he's Capadonna, like you know what I mean. So was the Wu-Tang Doc this year?
Yes.
So we can all agree RZA's kind of a dick, right?
Yeah.
Like that was. I knew we've heard like the stories and the rumors of him.
He's a control freak.
Yeah, like, but like, not even just a control freak, but like, he was kind of an asshole. Like, you know what I mean? And I love that. Like, was it his brother who was like, I'm telling all the secrets. It was somebody on it. He was kind of cross-eyed, huh?
No. You got talking trash about him?
Yeah, no. He was talking shit, but then a couple weeks later, he was in a video with him talking about how everything is cool. So I don't know what the fuck is going on there.
Yeah, it's called Publicity and Money. Did he drop an album?
Not that.
You know what? He had a book. No, the book was last year. So I actually have it on audio, but I haven't actually listened to it yet. I'm curious to know what Edward goes through, like people like you guys, like in the groups, because I feel like you're there in certain groups. You're not gonna get what really happened. I feel like if let's say there was an Onyx story, I think you'd get the best story from Sun C. Like I don't think you'd get it from Fedro or Sticky. You get it from like the third guy in the group who did everything.
What was the fourth dude's name that disappeared after the first album?
Fuck.
There's definitely four of them at first.
Yeah. Fuck. I know the name. Dame Judi Dench. Can you picture her doing Slam?
Yes. Actually, I could.
What was the worst movie you guys seen this year?
Worst movie? Wow.
Hobbs and Shaw's up there. That movie was so bad. I love it, but
it was Hobbs bad good though. So I don't know if I would.
Hobbs and Shaw was fucking bad good.
Pretty awful.
But that was more of a Honest Trailer's hit it on the head. That was essentially a love story between Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh my god! There was what the fuck? It was some movie I saw that I was mad. I watched it.
Oh, but well, you know, let's get into this. Can we all agree the Joker was overrated?
Yep.
Like.
What do you mean overrated?
People were talking, it's Academy Award winning, the best comic book movie ever created. It's like, shut the fuck up.
No, go with that last point. I understand the Oscar stuff.
I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, so I'll say it now. I thought Joaquin Phoenix was a 10 out of 10.
That's the Oscar buzz.
But I'm talking about just him. He deserves an award. Yeah. That movie doesn't deserve an award. Like, the first half of the movie was trash. And then, like,
why did he say that?
It was boring. I couldn't get into it, and I was trying really hard to.
Why?
They overdid the laughing thing. It was like it was so overdone. Like, you know what I mean? It almost seemed like it went from like a tick to like a something that they felt they needed to do. You know what I mean? So it was just bad. But I like how then right at the point where they get to him at Wayne Manor,
mm-hmm.
it was great from then on.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? When he actually becomes Joker. Like, you know what I mean?
But I mean, with that stuff that was great, I mean, Wayne Manor and him actually becoming the Joker, would that have meant anything if you didn't have the build up going towards that?
Yes.
But you wouldn't have a connection to the character if you didn't see how he developed.
But I really didn't have a connection to the character until that moment. Like, I felt nothing for that character until then.
Why?
You know how, like, you can watch something and everyone's saying to you, like, you know what it is? This is back to like when I hated Batman. Mm-hmm. I watched the movie and I was like, it was okay. Greg said the same thing. He was like, it was okay. You talked about it. You were like, you enjoyed it. But we both didn't like the same things.
You want Batman Begins?
No, Batman. Just like the Batman
character.
No, Batman. You'll understand.
The character.
The character.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the movies.
No.
Okay.
So, When people started talking about Batman, and I was like, what makes him a good character? And people would always come back, because he's Batman. I'm like, you're going to have to give me more than just, like, he's Batman. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, well, you just, if you don't, then that means you just don't get it. I'm like, stop. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so people take these artsy-fartsy movies, and they go, you just didn't get it. No, motherfucker, I just didn't like it.
I don't know that. Is there, though? I think that's, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive.
I do. Let's take Arrival, for example. I brought this conversation up yesterday about how I didn't like Arrival. And it was like, please watch
it. Is that the movie with the woman
from, like, Lois Lane's
or whatever?
Yeah.
And it, and
the aliens came from space and they were trying to, like, yeah.
And they were trying to communicate with
her. Yeah.
That was a good movie.
That movie sucked. That movie was ass. That movie was ass.
I part of me think, and I don't want to make, like, broad generalizations, but I think
the Old Man Way Show is what we do.
I think that one of the reasons for the backlash of, for the Joker movie is not understanding what it was supposed to be going into it. And it's not saying you didn't understand the subject matter once you were there. It's just knowing that the whole point of the movie was supposed to be a character study. And to have a character study, to know how Joaquin Phoenix turns into what he ends up, you know, murdering people towards the end of the movie. You need all this ancillary stuff that adds to the character. If you cross out all the stuff with his strange relationship with his mother and, you know, the stalking,
which was weirdly sexual.
Yeah, stalking of Zazie Beetz and the shit with his
Zazie.
and the stuff with his, like, his social worker. Like, it doesn't mean as much when the crazy person goes up to the gates of Wayne Manor. Because if you just stop the movie at that point, you have no idea what the fuck is happening. You don't know what led up to that, why he has the mental issues that he has, and how he slowly descends into being completely maniacal
which
and
I get,
into the Joker.
Which I get, but it was poorly, I thought it was poorly executed. Like,
see, that's different than what you said before. Saying something's poorly executed and just saying, oh, you didn't need it at all. It's just the way they went about it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't. That's when I was saying, like, I didn't feel anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Dan Slott brought up a good point when he goes, the story was really base. Rich people bad, poor people good.
Yeah.
It's a pretty base thing. Yeah. I didn't really, like, when he got beat up by those kids, I didn't feel anything. The only time I felt bad, there were certain scenes where I did feel bad for him. Like, where he's on that, when he's on the bus. And he's just trying to be a nice person. Both me and my wife were just like, wow, what a bitch.
Yeah, one was a cut.
Yeah. Wow, you said it.
I did. That's like, what I felt watching it.
You know what I mean? So I was like, wow, this woman's a bitch. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I was like, the whole situation with him and his mom, and, like, realized that he's so small because he's given all of his money so his mother can survive. It's like, okay, I get that. But then as soon as you see Zazie Beetz, and then you're like, okay, this is, like, at that point, you're like, yep, I see where this is going now. Like, you know what I mean? So it started getting real predictable. And then when, like, you get the reveal with her in that, you're like, yeah, I saw that coming. But I will say, the scene where he kills that dude in front of the little person, I could not stop laughing. He's like, no, you can go. And he's trying to, like, open a door and he can't. And I was like, yo, this is great. But then, like, but just everything, once he became, like, once he got that. And I'll even say that when he shows up at the door, you could have started the movie there, I think. I honestly think you could have started the movie there and then done, like, little flashbacks on why things are happening.
I get your premise, but I don't agree.
Yeah, well, you don't have to agree.
No, I know. I'm just saying that. I think that this is one of the things about going to see a movie in general. Like, even if you look at the first 15 minutes of Avengers Endgame, some people feel like you could have just cut that out. You didn't need the whole Hawkeye thing or Cap at the support group.
Yeah.
Like, certain people feel like that stuff doesn't add anything. But for me, I need world building and I need to understand what's happening and why I should actually care about the characters. I didn't think The Joker was the greatest movie ever. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I liked, for the most part, what they did with it. Did it drag in certain points? Of course, because that's what happens when you have a character-driven story. The Joker was not a superhero movie. It was never designed to be a superhero movie. They took a topic that we love, the Joker, and they turned it into, as you called it, an artsy-fartsy movie. I love the movie for the attempt. The fact that they even tried to do that is very interesting to me.
And considering how much you were against it when it was announced.
Yeah, I hated the idea of it. But when I sat down and watched it, I was like, okay, I can fuck with this. This is interesting. It like, I would love to see, like, a Batman Year One movie. Because I feel like it would be the same thing. It's, like, super, completely character-driven. Like, it's not about him jumping off rooftops. It's about Bruce Wayne and Batman as people, understanding why they do what they do, and the relationship between him and the Joker, for example. I think the main villain in Year One, it wasn't the Joker, I think it was like the Penguin or some shit like that, but...
Are we talking about the original Year One, or are we talking about the one with... Because I know Frank Miller...
They did it more than once, but...
Okay. Because I know, like, in the Frank Miller one, that's where Batman and Catwoman first meet, which is always funny when they always have, like, where'd you first meet? Mm. She says on the streets, and he says on a boat, which is funny. But I can see that. I know there was along that they were thinking about doing a Mr. Freeze movie.
See, I don't care about that either, but that's exactly the way I felt about the Joker movie. But see, it could be interesting, depending on which way they flip it. If they turn it into... Like, again, I don't go to the movies to see dramas. You know that. I'm a star. I want to see shit blown up. Blow up. And I want to see blow up, things that blow up, titties, and I want to laugh.
It's kind of like when me and my grandmother were killing, cutting, cartoons or comedy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
That's all I care about. I don't go to the movies to think for the most part. I want, like, stress relief. I want to enjoy what I'm seeing.
Escapism.
Exactly. So I felt like I got that from the Joker movie.
I don't really get that. I get what you're saying. I didn't... It's funny because I went in there thinking, I don't want to see this, but I think I'm going to enjoy it. So I went in there with a positive attitude. And it just kind of... It dragged a lot. A lot of things that I've seen that they tried to do...
It was fast.
Huh?
I felt like it was fast. No. It was like an hour and 20 minutes.
It dragged.
It felt like 2 hours to me, man.
Oh.
It did, yeah.
But the funny thing about it is, it was the first 45 minutes that felt like 2 hours to me. And then, like, the last hour, 15 minutes...
The Endgame went like this.
Yeah, everyone talks about how long Endgame was.
No. Not the movie Endgame. I meant the Endgame in the Joker movie.
Yeah.
Just fast as hell.
Oh, when he killed those motherfuckers...
Like, it's over?
When he killed those motherfuckers, I was like, good. Fuck them. You know what I mean? So I was happy about that. But people talked about, you say that the end game was good, but people talked about how long end game
was. That movie seems like it's an hour to me.
Yeah.
It fucking flies by, no matter how many times I watch it.
Hey, Greg, have you seen it again since you've seen it in theaters? Hmm? Have you seen Endgame since you saw it in theaters?
Yeah.
Like, did you enjoy the same as you did the first time around?
Did I? No.
Really? I thought, like, for me, I for some reason when I saw Endgame again, I think I enjoyed it more. And I know me and Greg had this conversation about the final fight scene and how... Because I'm writing a list on, like, trying to figure out what are the best 20 fight scenes of the decade. And I was struggling not putting that at number one. But me and Greg were having a conversation about, like, all the real, like, emotional moments that were going in there. Like, something as small as, like, Cap's finally saying after 20 years saying Avengers Assemble... Not 20 years. After, like, a decade saying Avengers Assemble, as Greg snores... He can't even hear me right now. That's the funny part about it. Oh. I'll wrap it up so you can go and take a nap. But something as simple as that, like Cap saying Avengers Assemble, him using the hammer, Thor, like, and I love when, like, Iron Man and Cap show up and Thor's just kind of sitting there, like, in his B-boy stance, and he's just like, let's kill him proper this time. He's like, I don't care.
You know, this is a trap, right? Yeah, I don't much care. Good, then we're all in agreement then.
Yeah. Let's kill him proper this time. I loved it. And then, like, and there's a lot. If you watch that movie 100 times, you'll find something different 100 times. Did you notice Mantis and M'Baku destroying, like, one of those little giant, like, gorilla horse things? Mm-hmm. It peeped it in the background when Thor and Captain America, like, switched hammers. And I noticed Mantis in the background with, like, she had her hands on the thing and M'Baku was, like, beating with it.
Nah, I missed that.
Or, I said this to both of you guys, when Giant Man punched that worm.
I love that part.
Yeah. It was just, like, he, like, wound back.
Duck. Right cross.
Boom! Or, M'Baku, die! Like, everything about that. And that I got...
a hell of a battle.
And one of my... And another sleeper is at the Cap set assemble, Thor going, yeah! Oh man, I can't wait for fucking... Oh, hot take: Thor dies in the next movie. But it's not gonna be his final movie.
Why?
Why does he die?
Yeah, like, what would the point of that be?
I think the point of it will be to kind of give Valkyrie and maybe Jane Foster their own thing, But I don't think Thor stays dead.
They kill him for that. I mean, that's not what happens in the books. He just loses an arm and loses the hammer, and that's the end of it.
But I think that I think he dies. I think he has to fight his way through hell.
Would you kill him?
Why would I kill him?
I said, how would you kill him?
If I was gonna kill him,
like, what story would you like? What give me scenario me.
I kind of feel it has to be somebody like Mangog, like someone who's like just like this unstoppable force. And I kind of feel like they should do like they did in the Jane Foster Thor. I feel like Thor should sacrifice himself, slamming him into the sun. In the comic books, it's Jane Foster who does it, but I kind of feel like Thor should just drag his ass into the fucking sun. Like, you know what I mean?
Jane Foster is dead?
No. But she lost her powers. She died for a little bit, and obviously it's a whole thing. But I kind of feel like that would be cool, and maybe even something like... And maybe it like opens up the stage for like Beta Ray Bill.
Excuse me.
You know what I mean?
They should have invented... They had a perfect opportunity. Well, they kind of sort of kind of hinted towards him in Ragnarok. Like
when they had the picture of him on the side of the wall, yeah. On the Thor wall, on this tower. But yeah, man, I think that this is... I think he dies in this next Thor movie. Or at the very least, he loses an arm, but I think he dies. I think we've seen the last of Thor for a little while. Supposedly, Chris Evans will be back. Because people forget that, like, he's like, oh, it's his last movie. No, he didn't say he was done being Captain America. He said he was taking a break from being Captain America.
He could be old shield Captain America.
Yeah, because it still works.
President Rogers, maybe?
Oh, God. Oh, God. He's old enough now. I know, right? He was old enough when he defrosted his ass. But one thing, before we go, if you're not reading Doomsday Clock, it's finally over. Fucking read it. There's a situation where you never see Fuckboy 45, but they talk about him like he's tweeting. He goes, the president just hold on, I'll find it. Because there's a part in the thing where like he's talking about the superheroes and all that other stuff, and he's going on and on about
it. In the Hulk, Bigley.
Yeah, he goes. President also tweeted, "The U.S. cannot support Superman any longer. I've done more for the world, anyways, and will continue to."
When they do shit like that.
You know, earlier this year, Ben Grimm goes, "I'm the Thing." You know, the second most popular orange monster. All right, man. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. I want to thank two of my best friends in the world, Just Greg, the Genius of Justification. You got anything to promote?
No.
Just naps?
Just naps. Get enough sleep.
Is there a positive adjective that starts with the letter N? The nice guy of naps?
I have to think about that one.
Yeah. I also want to thank the CEO of BlackRabbit.com.
BlackRabbit.com.
BlackRabbit. And shout out to you, though, man. Two successful years with BlackRabbit.com. Thank you for giving me a platform to do the CCBN. Mm-hmm. That's been fun. Hopefully, I'll be doing more of that this year. Anybody listening, make sure you go check that out, man. And I don't say that just because he's my best friend, but it's actually a legitimately good website.
I think we should give Greg his own podcast called The Players Club.
Damn it, Wade!